very good Sunday morning out there to everybody listening. Welcome to the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. It's a very beautiful Sunday morning, I gotta say. When I walked outside, I could not believe what I was seeing after all the rain, and, you know, it's been a bit chilly these last few days. Hopefully everybody was safe as we got the aftermath of that tropical storm just this past Friday. I saw there's a whole lot of flooding out there. So I hope everybody out there listening, hope you guys were all safe. Nobody got into any trouble. I saw too many pictures online of cars getting stuck, people trying to get through the water as the roads were quite a bit flooded. My mom was telling me when she got home that Friday, she was like, she had to try, you know, four or five different ways just to make it back to our house because there was just nowhere that, you know, was open. All the roads were closed. Everything was just all over the place. But anyways, hopefully you all were safe and are enjoying this beautiful weather on this Sunday morning. Thank you for spending it with us. We always appreciate our listeners out there, especially, you know, our loyal ones, or whether you're a brand new listener, we appreciate you. I had a couple buddies of mine, you know, they were up in Lake George just yesterday at a Lake George Escape campgrounds, and some of their friends up there are some pretty consistent listeners. So shout out to Joey Lake, Doug, his buddy Matt. You know, appreciate you guys always tuning in. I said I would shout you guys out for being consistent listeners, so thank you. Appreciate your guys' support, and appreciate all of your support, all the listeners out there to the Hot Seat and the rest of our programs here on 104.5 The Team. So we got a stacked lineup today. We will start things off the way we always do, going around the MLB diamond, talking about Major League Baseball, catching you up with what's going on for your regional teams of interest, the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, how they're all doing in the playoff race. We will dive into the Olympics as they are just about to end in a few short minutes. The final event going on today is the women's basketball gold medal game, which is currently tied with 4 minutes left, 55-55. I'd tune in right now if I were you. We're getting to crunch time. USA versus France, the same matchup as in the men's. We'll dive into that game a little bit later as the U.S. did exactly what everybody thought they were going to do. They showed up when they needed to most, and we'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week as we always do around 11:45, and maybe talk a little bit of NFL football as the NFL is finally back. Preseason is underway, and I know we're all too excited about that as it's been too long, it feels, since there has been NFL football to watch, or football in general, I should say. So as I said, thank you for joining me here on this beautiful Sunday morning, and let's dive right into things. Before we dive into baseball, I want to mention this gold medal matchup between France and U.S., 55-55, all knotted up, 3 minutes 45 seconds to go. Maybe we'll do a little live play-by-play if things get intense down the stretch, but this might be the highest pressured event in this entire Olympic Games, because yes, the United States women are going for a gold medal. They're going for their 8th straight gold medal. They've won every single gold medal in women's basketball since 1996. Winning today would make them the only team in Olympic history across any sport to win 8 straight gold medals, as they're currently tied with the U.S. men's basketball team, who won 7 straight from, you know, the 1930s to the 1960s. So it's been a while since that record has been set, and they have a chance to make history. But not only just that, if you look at the medal tracker right now, the U.S. with a commanding lead in terms of total medals, you know, commanding lead in silvers and bronzes. But as of right now, they are down one gold medal to China, as China, I believe, has 40 gold medals. Yeah, China with 40 gold medals, U.S. with 39. And should the United States win the gold medal in women's basketball, the final event of the Olympic Games, they will, you know, officially be the country that you can say won this year's Summer Olympics. They'll be tied in gold medals with China, but as if there's ever a tie, you know, in gold medals, then the countries will then be ranked by whoever has more silver medals, and the U.S. already has a commanding lead there. So not only is this U.S. women's basketball team playing for a gold medal for themselves, not only are they playing to make history as, you know, the first team since 1960s to win more than that. Well, not even that. The first team to ever win 8 straight gold medals at the Olympics. But they're also playing to basically put the United States on top in this year's Olympic Games. Clean sweep, most silvers, most bronzes, tied with golds, but still winners overall of this year's Olympics. It's currently 56-55, USA up by 1 with 3:20 to go. Kelsey Plum dribbling the ball up, dishes down low to Aja Wilson. Aja, a couple jab steps, takes a step back mid-range from the free throw line, bounces around and gets the shooter's touch off the top of the backboard and rolls in. United States up by 3 with 3 minutes to go. I said there might be a little live play-by-play here, as this game is just too exciting not to tap into. I know we usually start baseball here on the hot seat, but this game is just too intense, too close to be ignored. We got it up on the TV here in the studio as France pulling a deep three, unable to go, chases down the offensive rebound. I tell you what, this French women's team has some intensity and some grit behind them as they miss the second chance opportunity from deep. Breonna Stewart with the rebound, and it looks like she has drawn a foul there. This French team, I mean, there's been a lot of bumps, you know, aggressive plays. There's, you know, a lot of contact that the refs, you know, are seemingly letting these teams, they're just letting them play it out. They're letting the women play. And there, you know, maybe some of these bumps that the women's team aren't necessarily used to that would normally be called fouls in regular WNBA play. You know, this French team, they're guarding 90 feet of the court. They're, you know, playing intense defense, and it's one of those, you know, you gotta lock in mentally, because it's easy to get frustrated when you feel like you're getting bumped around a lot, getting a lot of contact on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, and you're not getting calls to go your way. So it's easy to get frustrated, as right now it looks like, I believe that's Jackie Young holding her head. Yeah, Jackie Young must have drawn a foul there on the inbound, clearly frustrated, but this is one of those moments. You know, 2 minutes, 34 seconds left. You got to focus. You can't let what the refs are doing or what the other team is getting away with, you can't let that distract you from the fact that you are in a position to win this game. As right now, France shooting, I believe, 2 free throws, 2.5 minutes left. While that's going on, let's dive into the regional teams of interest around the MLB, as that's how we usually start things on the hot seat. I know kind of went off on a little tangent there about the Olympics. We'll dive more into that next segment, as the closing ceremony is coming up later on today. I believe around 3 o'clock that is supposed to start. So diving into the MLB recap here, the New York Yankees. Couple of doubleheaders lately, one against the Angels, one against the Texas Rangers. You know, you thought this Yankees team was starting to get on a roll here. Just last Sunday, they won their third straight series after taking down the Red Sox and the Phillies, sweeping the Phillies, win the series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Then you go into a series against the Los Angeles Angels, who are, as you know, many of us know, not one of the better teams in the major leagues. Granted, this is a series that they should have swept. At the very least, 1-2 out of 3. And I get it. Doubleheaders are tough. You know, you don't want to put all your best players out there both games, you know, risk injuring them. They have a long season ahead of them that you don't want to jeopardize by trying to win two games by putting all your eggs in one basket on that one day. But losing a series to the Angels is just bad. And I understand that second doubleheader game, you know, you have Will Warren on the mound, who's, you know, only made one start so far this season, looked pretty good against the Phillies, really made one mistake, and that ended up costing him, as it was a 3-run mistake. But against the Angels, he just looked in rough shape, gave up 6 runs early on. The final in that one was 8-2. And then Nestor follows it up the next day, and Nestor, who's normally very good at home, kind of, you know, gives you an egg performance, as the Angels would go on to win that one 9-4. So really just not even in a position to win that game. Fast forward a couple of days, you miss a game on Friday against the Rangers due to weather, play a doubleheader on Saturday. You take game one with relative ease as Rodon pitched very strongly. You win 8-0 in a shutout. Then you follow it up with your ace on the mound, Gerrit Cole, who pitches pretty good through 5 1/3. And Boone, you know, sure, he was at 90 pitches on the day at that point. Boone takes him out maybe a little bit early. Then the sixth inning kind of gets away from them. And then next thing you know, the Rangers put up, what was it, five runs in the top of the sixth, followed by three in the top of the seventh. Next thing you know, this Yankees team is down 9-1. And at that point, you're not winning any game, really, down 9-1 going into the seventh inning. Got a few runs with a Jazz home run and a Giancarlo Stanton two-run shot in the bottom of the eighth. But overall, not a very strong performance in game two, in a game where really game one would have been the game you were going to lose if Rodon gave you a bad start. But Cole pitched pretty good, only gave up one run in 5 1/3. And then you bring in the bullpen maybe a little bit too early, and it just didn't go their way. So still with a chance to, you know, make it all worthless, I should say. If they win today, it's all meaningless. You still win the series. So that's coming up at 1:35, just a couple of hours. Right now, pitching matchup's going to be Marcus Stroman on the mound against Andrew Heaney, the former Yankee, as Heaney was downright abysmal in his Yankees career as a starting pitcher. So you would hope maybe the Yankees can get onto one there. Stroman has seemed a little inconsistent lately, though, not having his best stuff. His ERA is officially over 4 on the season, and at home, his ERA is over 5. So he hasn't been very good at home in Yankee Stadium, but hopefully the bats show up. And really, you don't want to go into this series against the White Sox feeling like you're in a bad place. Okay, the White Sox are in a very bad place already, and this can only get worse for the Yankees. The Yankees are going into this series against Chicago with practically nothing to gain and everything to lose when it comes to momentum. It's just one series. There's still a lot of baseball left for the rest of the season. But if you find a way to lose a series to the Chicago White Sox, who just tied a record losing 21 straight games, there starts to be some conversations about, is this Yankees team going to last come October? This is a lot of just thoughts. That this isn't anything. This could mean nothing if the Yankees go into Chicago and are able to get a clean sweep. As checking back in with the U.S. women's basketball team, Kalia Cooper just made a layup to put the U.S. up by 3 with 1 minute left to go. We'll check back in there in just a couple seconds. Real quick, the New York Mets have had a pretty up and down week. I'd say, you know, fairly even. They've gone 3-4 since the last time we talked last Sunday. Winning a series at Colorado after losing game one. That's a big bounce back. Then you get shut out in 2 straight games against Seattle, which, albeit, Seattle is a tough team to face. They have great pitching. You know, you ended up facing Logan Gilbert and Bryce Miller, who are both very solid pitchers. And now you go into game 3 at 7 o'clock tonight, hoping to at least get one of them, at least don't get swept. On the bright side for the Mets, this following series is at home against Oakland, and then another series at home against Miami before the Baltimore Orioles come to town. So you got some opportunities to gain some momentum here. It'll be the battle of the Luises tonight, as it'll be Luis Severino facing Luis Castillo of the Mariners. And if you're the Mets, you just try to get one tonight, get yourself a little bit of momentum so you can go into the series against Oakland and Miami feeling good. Get hopefully both those series wins, because again, those are two teams that are not, you know, they're not, for lack of a better term, they're not good. The Athletics and the Marlins are not good baseball teams this season. So the Mets should have no problem with their roster going, especially at home, going to face Oakland and Miami and pulling away at least 2 out of 3 in both of those series. I'll actually be at Citi Field for the game against the Marlins on Saturday the 17th. Looking forward to that. I always love going to Citi Field. Beautiful ballpark. Always a great time. If you're ever at Citi Field, I highly, highly recommend getting the mozzarella sticks. Highly recommend. Some of the best mozz sticks I've ever had in my life at Citi Field. So again, highly recommend. Moving on to the Boston Red Sox here. They've also had a pretty up and down week, starting off the week with winning game 3 against the Texas Rangers to win that series, winning 2 out of 3 at Kansas City, which was huge for the wild card standings, as the Red Sox gained a lead on Kansas City in the wild card standings after that series. Then you go back at home to play Houston, who, albeit had a tough start to the year, has started to figure things out. They're still in that race in the AL West, definitely one of the top wildcard teams in the American League. But you lose the first two. pitching just wasn't really there. You give up 8 runs in the first game, lose 8-4. Second game a bit closer, end up losing that one 5-4. And when you're in a tight game against the Astros, there's a reason that they went out and acquired Josh Hader to be their closer, because albeit he's had his struggles the last couple years, he's still one of the better closers in the league. So tough spot there for the Red Sox, especially, you know, when Yordan Alvarez hits 2 home runs in a game. Most of the time, the Astros are going to find a way to win. That series will finish up tonight, or I should say today, at 1:35. James Paxton on the mound for the Red Sox, going up against Hunter Brown of the Houston Astros. So all across the MLB, a lot of great games going on. We'll check the standings for you, as you know, the Mets and the Red Sox both in the thick of the wild card race. The Yankees 1 game behind Baltimore for the American League East lead, as they were in first for a couple days and then ended up losing it after dropping a couple games to the Angels and the Rangers, as I mentioned. If we look at the wild card standings, the Red Sox have officially bounced out of the third wild card spot, now all the way down to 2.5 games below the Royals, only half a game above the Mariners. So that, you know, that side of the league, it's getting real tight coming down the stretch. If, you know, we talked to a couple of Red Sox analysts this past week on Big Board Sports, me and Michael Johnson Jr., a lot of them weren't too confident in the Red Sox chances of making the playoffs, just because the pitching is starting to fatigue a little bit. You saw at the beginning of the year, the rotation was pretty dominant, and now it's begun to kind of fall apart a little bit, and you need pitching in order to, you know, make it out of these tight races for these wild card spots. And especially if you do make the playoffs, you need your pitching to hold up if you want any chance at winning. But I still wouldn't count the Red Sox out. Alex Cora is one of the better managers in the league, so he's always going to find a way to get his team at least in a competitive position to try and make the playoffs. If they, you know, fall up short, they were still there. They still had a shot. You know, they're not throwing in the towel anytime soon. The National League wild card, also a very tight race, as the Atlanta Braves hold the third spot right now, the last wild card spot. The Mets only half a game back, with plenty of time to make up that room. San Francisco Giants, a game back of the Mets. St. Louis Cardinals, a game and a half back from the Mets. Cubs, 3 games back from the Mets. So this National League wild card race is even tighter than the American League is. But either way, both leagues standings very tight in the wild card race, as we will, you know, keep you up to date with what teams are looking good, what teams are, you know, we're expecting to make the playoffs, and we'll have it all for you right here on the hot seat on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Before we go to a break, we'll check back in with the U.S. and the France gold medal game, as the U.S. up by 4 right now, as I believe I was glancing over while I was doing that baseball recap. I believe it was Aja Wilson who got to the line, made a free throw, put the U.S. up by 4. France at the line now shooting 2. 13.5 seconds left as the U.S. playing for more than just a gold medal. They're playing for history, and they're playing to put the U.S. on top in this year's Summer Olympics. France makes the first free throw. Shooting 2 also goes in. So the U.S. now up by 2 with 13 seconds left. And if you're France, you have to foul or try and force a turnover. But with the way this game has been going, I wouldn't have been surprised if there was some contact and no foul called and ended up being a turnover. But instead, the ball comes into Kelsey Plum's hands nice and clean, and she will get fouled and go to the line for 2, 10 points on the day, 4 assists, 4-for-4 from the line so far. And if she sinks both of these free throws right here, the U.S. has a pretty strong chance at walking away from this game with the gold medal. Kelsey Plum at the line, getting ready to shoot free throw number 1, and it's good. And just like that, the U.S. up by 3, 11 seconds left. If she makes this one, game practically out of reach for France unless they get a quick 3 on the other end. And she drills both of them, cool under pressure, ice in her veins. You know, they say diamonds are made under pressure. Kelsey Plum, clearly a diamond, as France knocks down a step back 3 from the wing to make it a 1-point game with 5 seconds to go. the inbound to Kalia Cooper, I believe, caught that pass. Yeah, Kalia Cooper catches the inbound pass, gets fouled immediately, 3.8 seconds left, as the U.S. all of a sudden only up by one. What a shot from, I'm not sure who that is on France's roster, but what a shot there to basically give them life. As let's find out who that was who made that shot. Because that deserves some recognition. That was a tough shot right there. It was Gabrielle Williams who knocked down that one, giving the French team, you know, any sort of chance here. Gabby Williams of the Seattle Storm knocks that one down. Kalia Cooper made both free throws. And it looks like the U.S. is going to walk out of here with a victory, as France only had 4 seconds to get the ball down the court. No timeouts, had to go full length, and they actually knocked down a buzzer beater to end the game, but it looks like the pass was just inside the three-point arc. Yep, foot on the line. Wow. That is a heartbreaking way to end this game for France. It was Gabby Williams again taking the shot. Foot barely on the line. This game could have very well gone to overtime if she was half an inch further back. But that is the name of the game. Sometimes it'll break your heart. At the end of the day, it was a great basketball game. And we just witnessed history right here as the U.S. women take home gold, become the first team in any sport to win 8 straight gold medals, as well as have given the United States the lead across the board in this year's Summer Olympics. All right, we are up against a break here. We will be right back diving into more Olympics recap, as we'll see what happened in the men's finale against France just yesterday, as we'll let you know who else took home medals for the USA. Maybe dive into a little bit of NFL preseason. Check in on the scores and how the rookies have been playing as NFL football is finally back. Stay tuned, everybody. More of the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks coming up next here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat, letting you know that you can listen live well before these podcast episodes are posted. Join me live every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon Eastern time, where we can go back and forth on the hottest takes, hottest topics, and the hottest headlines across the world of sports. All you have to do, download the free 104.5 The Team app. That's 104.5 The Team. Download today for more of The Hot Seat live every Sunday morning.
It's The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
Here on The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. I figured there was no better song to play coming into this segment talking about the Olympics, really coming out of that last segment as well, talking about the U.S. women's basketball team and how they have fared at the Olympics, because we, most of us here listening, are born in the USA. As we will recap what has happened the last few days with the Olympics, as they are officially over with. The last 2 weeks have been very exciting to watch. You know, it only comes around every 4 years. So whenever it is on, you feel like you got to tune in. You got to make sure you're kept up to date. And that is what we are here for, to keep you all up to date, as the United States officially, I would say, has won this year's Summer Olympics. And, you know, I mentioned last segment that the women's team was not just playing for a gold medal. They were playing to make history, become the first team in any Olympic sport to win 8 straight gold medals. But they were also playing to put themselves in a position for a tiebreaker, as China was in the lead with 40 gold medals, leading the U.S. by one going into this game.
after this, the U.S. and China will both be tied at 40 gold medals, meaning we will jump to the silver medals to see who is, you know, who is this year's winner, as you could call it, in the Summer Olympics. And the U.S. with a commanding lead in silver and in bronze, with a total of 126 medals now, 40 gold, 44 silver, and 42 bronze. The United States has won this year's Summer Olympics. So congratulations to all the athletes that were over in Paris competing, brought home some medals. It was, you know, great to watch. The U.S. women's just won the gold medal. The U.S. men's just yesterday, also facing France, they won a gold medal. As you know, there was the dream team, there was the redeem team. LeBron was asked yesterday what they should call this team, and he simply said the Avengers, which I couldn't agree more. You know, they really got all the stars for this year's Olympic men's team. LeBron, Steph, KD, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, you know, just down the line, just star after star after star. Jrue Holiday, Derek White. They're really, this whole entire Olympics, there was no doubt in anyone's mind that this team was going to be competing for gold. Their goal the entire time was to get gold. They would not have been satisfied with silver. And it was a tight one against France in the gold medal match. But the U.S. pulled it out. They won 98-87 behind 24 points, all from three-pointers from Stephen Curry. LeBron James finished with 14 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists. Kevin Durant, 15 points, 4 assists. He became the first men's basketball player to ever win 4 gold medals, officially breaking Carmelo Anthony's record after already breaking his record for total points, total three-pointers, total pretty much everything. So there is a very strong argument to be made that Kevin Durant is the greatest Olympic basketball player in U.S. history. Victor Wembanyama for the French, he finished with 26 points and 7 rebounds as the French team won silver for the second straight Summer Olympics. So great matchup there. It was tight down to the wire, but you know, at the end of it, it was those guys I mentioned, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. They took over when the team needed them most. We'll dive into, real quick, the box score from this women's game that just ended. As Aja Wilson led the U.S. in scoring with 21 points, 13 rebounds. Nafisa Collier finished with 11 rebounds, 7 points. Breonna Stewart, 8 points. Kelsey Plum finished with 12. Kalia Cooper finished with 12. They both shot 6 of 6 from the field. All around, this U.S. women's team, they got the job done. Gabby Williams, who I was mentioning, just had practically an inch away from getting this French team into overtime against the United States. Just barely had her foot on the line as she hit the buzzer beater. She finished with 19.7 rebounds, doing it all as she tried to lead France to the gold medal against the United States. Looking around the other events that were going on for the Olympics, the United States women's national team in soccer, they narrowly beat Brazil to win their 5th gold medal, their first one since 2012. It was Mallory Swanson who ended up scoring the game-winning goal in the 57th minute. And from then on, it was practically all over. You know, it was just tight defense, and the U.S. women's national team was able to hold on as it was, you know, it was a tight one there. In the 4x400 relays, the U.S., both men's and women's team, took home gold. It was the men's team who had a new Olympic record in the 4x400 relay. All around, this United States, really just every team, was competitive. There's a reason that this team was able to practically win this year's Olympics, as they were, everywhere you looked, they were competing. So that will do it for this year's Olympic Games. That is a wrap. The closing ceremony coming up at 3 p.m. today. And, you know, I can't imagine the feeling of taking home a gold medal for your country. You know, hearing the national anthem being played as you're awarded these medals, it's got to be a surreal feeling, you know, up there with obviously winning a championship in your sport. But it's, you know, it only comes around every 4 years, like I said. So you don't get the opportunity to do this very often. And once you reach, you know, the age of some of these players, especially in some of these basketball players, you know, like this was likely LeBron James's last Olympic Games. This could have been Steph Curry's last Olympic Games. Kevin Durant, probably his last Olympic Games. Not to say that there isn't a lot of great talent that will be following them leading this team come 2028. But this, you know, this was likely their last opportunity. So it makes winning that gold medal just a little bit sweeter and being able to take it home for your country. Before we head to a break, real quick, we'll let you know what went on across the NFL preseason. Give you a quick scoring update as there was quite a few games starting on Thursday night. It was the Patriots who took down the Panthers 17-3. Drake May made his debut at quarterback. The Giants beat the Lions 14-3. On Friday night, the Miami Dolphins took down the Atlanta Falcons as Michael Penix, the 8th overall pick, made his debut. Houston Texans beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 20-12. Philadelphia Eagles beat the Baltimore Ravens 16-13. Just yesterday, the New York Jets beat the Washington Commanders as Jaden Daniels made his debut for the Commanders. The Chicago Bears beat the Buffalo Bills 33-6. We'll dive into that a little bit more in the next segment as Caleb Williams made his debut. Minnesota Vikings and J.J. McCarthy in his debut, they beat the Raiders 24-23 in a tight one. Packers take down the Browns 23-10. Buccaneers beat the Bengals 17-14. The Titans beat the 49ers 17-13. Jaguars over the Chiefs 26-13. Seahawks edged the Chargers 16-3. And the New Orleans Saints took down the Arizona Cardinals 16-14. NFL football is back, and there's no shortage of things to talk about as many of these very highly scouted and very exciting rookies made their debuts over this past weekend. We'll dive into it next with the hottest headlines of the week here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on ESPN Radio 104.5 The Team. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat. To stay up to date with when episodes are going to be posted or airing live every Sunday morning at 11, be sure to check out at VFreds Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's VFREDDS Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we'll have clips, updates, and more for you. Up next, more of the Hot Seat.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
No shortage of small things to talk about here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team as we have officially made it to our hottest headlines segment as we always do around this time. Get into it a little bit late. Normally we try to get to it right around 11:30, but the first segment ran a little long as, you know, there was no stopping that segment with the U.S. women's basketball team in a clutch tight performance against the French national team, winning the gold medal 67-66. Had to provide you guys a little bit of live play-by-play on that one because that was just too exciting not to do live. But we have made it. We are here on a Sunday morning, beautiful Sunday morning, if I might add. Very refreshing to see some blue skies after a bit of a cloudy and rainy weekend. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with me here on the Hot Seat on 104.5 The Team. I said we were going to get to our headlines, and it is time to get to the hottest headlines of the week, as we always do around this time on the Hot Seat. As we just mentioned that there was NFL football being played over the last few days, football is finally back. We have almost made it. I hope you're getting your fantasy lineup set. I hope you know, your mock drafts, your prospect rankings. I hope you're ready because it is almost that time for fantasy football draft season. You know, phone lines are open. I failed to mention that earlier, but phone lines open 518-476-1045. Let us know, how many fantasy leagues are you in? You know, are you feeling confident? I myself am feeling somewhat confident. We got a couple leagues going on here. I was in one last season with MJ and some of his friends, made it to the championship, got absolutely smoked by MJ in the finals. My team just didn't show up that week, but it is what it is. You know, second place, still not bad. I didn't really expect to make it that far, but I'll take what I can get. And we should be getting a league up and running here soon with the rest of the 104.5 family and some of our other stations. You know, everyone here at Town Square, whoever's interested in fantasy football, we should be getting a league going with them too. So once the football season rolls around and, you know, fantasy playoff or fantasy games are underway, we'll be sure to update you every week or so here on the hot seat, as I'm sure you guys will be interested in how all of our teams are doing. And if I do find a way to somehow take down MJ this season, you guys know I'm not going to let him forget it. He will, when we'll talk to some fantasy experts, he'll be sure to let them know that, you know, we faced off in the championship last year. He got the better of me that week, but I'm coming back with a vengeance. If anybody out there watched Receiver, the, you know, football show on Netflix, and you saw George Kittle after losing their first Super Bowl that he went to, saying, you know, I will be back. I will be back with a bleeping vengeance. That is me this fantasy football season, because I'm coming for you, MJ. I'm coming for the championship. All right, enough about that. Let's get into the hottest headlines of the week here. Starting off with more football, I mentioned Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick out of the NFL draft this past season of the Chicago Bears, finally made his debut, and everybody seemed to rave about what he did in a short amount of playing time. DJ Moore, the Chicago Bears wide receiver, couldn't help but say that his performance was outstanding. As I saw a couple highlights, you know, he was mobile, he was extending plays with his ability to run. He had a nice 26-yard strike to Cole Kmet, the tight end. And, you know, while he was more reserved in analyzing how he played during the two series that he was in that game against the Buffalo Bills, he walked away feeling confident. He said there's an understanding that it is just the preseason, that everybody's not going to show their looks and what they would do versus us and vice versa. But it definitely feels good to get out there. The last time I was out there on the field other than practice was November 18th. So almost a year since he has been able to play competitive football on the field. So I'm sure that must have felt good. He ended up completing 4 of his 7 passes for 95 yards and had a 13-yard scramble in 20 snaps played. And, you know, there were a couple of dropped passes out there too that it could have inflated his passing stats even more had they been caught. DJ Moore, the wide receiver, went ahead to say that he went out there on the rollout and DJ dropped a perfect pass. He's got to have those. So hopefully the wide receivers and the other skill players on the Chicago Bears limit the drops this season. But if you're a Chicago Bears fan, things might be looking up for you this season. And that division, you know, in the NFC North is going to be an interesting one. You got the Green Bay Packers, who just extended Jordan Love. Still great roster over there. They're, you know, in the thick of it. The Detroit Lions made it to the NFC Championship game last year. Probably one of the, you know, favorites. As just this past week on Big Board Sports, myself and MJ were talking with Ian Eagle, and he says that the Lions should be among the favorites to be in the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. So you can't count them out. The Chicago Bears, as we were just mentioning, Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, they went out and brought in Keenan Allen, drafted Romo Dunze. They have a solid team around Caleb Williams, one of the best lineups that a rookie quarterback has come into the league with. So they are right there in the thick of it. And then you got the Minnesota Vikings, who just drafted J.J. McCarthy. Still got Justin Jefferson coming back after somewhat of an injured season last year. So this NFC North division is going to be very competitive. And I'm for one, I'm excited to see who comes out on top this season. Moving on here to our next headline. All-star Lauri Markkanen signs a massive extension with the Utah Jazz. 5 years, $238 million. Including $220 million in new money. Markkanen, who only had 1 year, $18 million left on his contract, used the Jazz's salary cap space to increase his 2024 to 2025 salary another $24 million. and then agreed on another 4 years and $196 million. That's where you end up with the five-year $238 total. My goodness. I mean, some of the money that these basketball players are making is ridiculous. And this is a guy, Lauri Markkanen, who was on the trade block for the better part of this offseason. You know, there was a good chance that the Jazz traded him to another squad. But they did not. They went out and they locked him up for the next 5 years as he's, you know, he may become the next star out in Utah since they are dealing with the falling out of losing Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Next up, the Chicago White Sox. I know you're wondering, what could the Chicago White Sox possibly have done to make a headline?
Who?
The Chicago White Sox. They finally, it took them quite some time, but they finally let go of their manager and are starting to make changes after an abysmal 28-90 start to the season, which is the worst winning percentage through 118 games in the expansion era of baseball. So since 1961, they have finally named an interim manager, and it's actually a name you might recognize. Grady Sizemore, the former Cleveland star, three-time All-Star, became a coach with the White Sox earlier on this season and has now become the interim manager for the Chicago White Sox. Now, obviously, being a great player and being a great coach are two completely different things, but Grady Sizemore, a name that many people know, you know, one of definitely the stars of the, you know, mid-2000s, early 2010s in the MLB, we'll see if he can somehow make something out of nothing here, because the Chicago White Sox, yeah, they're struggling pretty bad. All right, our last headline here today. Actually, you know what? We'll do two more. Real quick, sticking with baseball. Major League Baseball to hold a game at Bristol Motor Speedway next August in 2025. It is the Braves taking on the Reds in the track known as Thunder Valley that holds more than 146,000 fans for NASCAR races. They announced this past Friday that the Atlanta Braves and the Cincinnati Reds will play there on August 2nd, 2025. There are, you know, some designs out there of outlines of, you know, how the field is going to be set up, and it's going to be a spectacular view. I don't know if I'd necessarily want to be one of those people in the, you know, the top sections, because that is a very long ways away from the field, but you could be a part of history. You know, it is going to be a part of history. So that is something that I'm sure, as you know, the time approaches, a lot of people are going to be tapped in with. Everyone's going to be paying attention to. But Major League Baseball making history, holding the first ever game at Bristol Motor Speedway. All right, to close up the headline segment here, Jim Harbaugh was handed a 4-year show cause order for recruiting violations, as the NCAA announced just this past week. That there is a 4-year show cause order for the former Michigan head coach for impermissible contact with recruits and players while access was restricted during the COVID-19 pandemic, effectively banning him from college athletics until August 2028. So basically what a show cause order means is it's a court order that requires one or more of the parties in a case to justify, explain, or prove something to the court. So basically they are saying, Jim, you need to show us, explain to us, prove to us that you didn't do what the NCAA is accusing you of. And throughout the next 4 years, he will, if he chooses to, will not be allowed to return to any, you know, NCAA school to coach again. Now, does this really affect him? I mean, he just left Michigan to coach the LA Chargers. And what's really, all this is really going to do is, you know, give the Chargers some bad, or excuse me, give Michigan some bad publicity, maybe the Chargers too, you know, give both of them some bad publicity. Sure, you know, you're making sure that he doesn't return to, you know, college football until 2028, but he just signed a 5-year deal with the Chargers that's effective until 2029 anyway. So unless the Chargers were to decide to fire him in the middle of that contract, he wouldn't be returning until past this show cause order is done regardless. So I don't know what is going on here. I don't know what the purpose of this is. You know, Jim Harbaugh wasn't going to return to college football over the next few years anyway. He's got his team in the NFL. You know, he's still chasing that Super Bowl ring after losing with the 49ers to the Ravens back like 12-ish years ago, I'd say. So really, what does this even matter? It's a very peculiar situation that just, if you ask me, just seems unnecessary. Sure, it is necessary because he obviously made recruiting violations and, you know, shouldn't be let off scot-free, but this doesn't seem to affect him that much, if you ask me. All right, speaking of football, the NFL season coming up soon. We'll go through in this final closing segment coming up next what some trades wouldn't surprise me if they were to happen very early on in this NFL season. We'll dive through a few trades that just simply make sense. Coming up next here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Stay with us. Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat here, not to promote anything or sell anything to you, but simply to say thank you. To all the listeners out there, your support is very much appreciated. And here at the Hot Seat, we will do our best to continue providing you with the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports on a weekly basis. Thank you again for listening. It's much appreciated. And we've got more of the Hot Seat coming up for you right after this.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
Yeah, man. So we back here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks, closing things up on a Sunday morning. Thank you to all the listeners out there. Appreciate you guys spending your Sunday morning with me. It's a beautiful day out. If you haven't yet, I'd get outside, get some fresh air. It was a real shock this morning when I left my house to see that it was sunny and nice. I couldn't believe it. Getting a little bit more of some nice summer weather before the fall creeps up. Speaking of fall, you know what that means. It's almost football season. As we've been talking about it throughout the show, it's almost time for football. And let's dive into some trades that could pop up throughout this preseason. As we get a little mood music here, get a nice little NFL bed going on. We'll start with the Buffalo Bills. As we know, they lost their star wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, as they traded him to the Houston Texans. But who's a receiver that they could pick up to kind of make up for not having Stephon Diggs on the roster anymore? I'll tell you who they could pick up. How about Davante Adams from the Raiders? As this mock trade here sees Davante Adams being traded to the Bills for a 2025 second round pick. Now, I will say, I feel like Davante Adams is worth more than just one second round pick. I don't think at this age he's necessarily worth a first rounder, but he's got to be worth more than just one second rounder. Maybe a second and a third, a second and a fourth, maybe a second, five and seven. But either way, with the way that the Raiders offseason has gone and the way last season went, you know, Las Vegas doesn't have a clear quarterback. They started with Jimmy Garoppolo, you had Aiden McConnell out there. You know, they brought in Gardner Minshew, but Davante Adams doesn't have a quarterback. And he's getting too late in his career to waste seasons. You know, this is a guy that wants to win. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the Bills try to make an effort to trade. I wouldn't be surprised to see Davante Adams get traded anywhere. But the Bills are definitely a team that could go for him. Next up, the Lions get some QB insurance with Taylor Heinicke from the Falcons for a 7th-round pick. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, Lions, outside of Jared Goff, don't have much, and you never know what can happen throughout the NFL season. You know, we saw, like, with the Vikings last year, Kirk Cousins blows out his Achilles, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets blows out his Achilles, and next thing you know, season's done for. So having a decent backup quarterback is always good to help.
This one here, the Falcons pick up Baron Browning from the Broncos to get some pass rush help, trading Browning in a 6th-round pick for a 4th-round pick. Not bad. You know, the Falcons' defense was clearly where their biggest issues were. You know, they had the chance to draft Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, one of the better, you know, they could have drafted any defensive player on the board. And instead, they took Michael Penix at number 8. All right, last trade here. Cowboys, my Dallas Cowboys, get a running back upgrade with Elijah Mitchell and a 6th-round pick, trading to the Niners a 5th-round pick and a 6th-round pick. I like it. You know, the Cowboys didn't really improve running back at all by bringing Zeke back. I like Rico Dowdle, but I don't know if he's necessarily ready to be RB1. Either way, you know, I wouldn't hate to see that trade as a Cowboys fan. All right, that'll wrap things up here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks. Be sure to tune in to the rest of our programming throughout the week. You know, Big Board Sports, Roger is back this week. He will be on with Joey Polotsky this week. You know, The Drive with Dan Ball, Mike Giaraputo from 3 to 7. Be sure to tune in to Big Board Sports on Thursday as both Roger and MJ are out. So what does that mean? It will be myself and Joey Polotsky leading Big Board Sports on Thursday morning from 10 until 1. So be sure to check that out, as I'm sure we will have some fun. Thank you all again for tuning in and spending your Sunday morning with me. We'll be back at it next week here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks, 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Have a good one.